Scripture reading for today will be found in Isaiah chapter 39. Verse 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift, because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in the storehouses: the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his entire armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show him. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied. For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Today's message is Pride Before Downfall by Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Nathan.
Welcome back, and it's good to see you. Before we listen to the word of God, let us join our hearts and minds together in worshiping God one more time. Let us pray. Gracious God, merciful Father, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? O God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for being so gracious and so merciful toward those who love you, toward those who obey you, towards those who want to follow your footsteps. O God, as the song we sang just now says, may you take our hand, help us stand, and lead us on till we see you face to face in our heavenly home. As we continue our journey here on earth, we thank you for providing for us all the good things. And apart from you, we have no good thing. And we thank you for this wonderful promise in our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never forsake us, and you will never abandon us. So, Lord, may you help us stay focused on you. May you help us turn our eyes to you all the time and not be distracted by the cares and worries of this life. O Lord, we know that you want us to be shaped and molded into the kind of person you want us to be. And so help us submit to you. Help us be willing to let you work out your salvation in us so that we can always walk in a way worthy of your calling. O Lord, we pray for all of us, especially those of us who are about to start another school year. We thank you for the summer break. And now as we are about to study for another 8 months or 10 months, we pray that you will help us be prepared physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that throughout the school year we can always be near you and you always be near to us. And Lord, we pray that the work that we do will always glorify you will always witness to your goodness, will help us, will help others see that indeed we belong to you. And we pray for those of us who are working too. And we pray that after the summer break, we'll be able to gather our minds and our hearts and apply ourselves in our work. We pray that we too can witness you. We too can be your ambassadors at our workplace. Oh God, we lift up the entire church to you. We pray that as the church moves into a new season of ministry, of meetings and activities, we pray that we will not just go through the motions, but we will always stay focused on you and know that you are the one we serve. And we pray now especially for the deacon election in October. And we pray that you will continue to bless the process and raise up the kind of leaders you want to lead this church into the new year. Lord, have mercy on us. And now as we open your word to Isaiah chapter 39, we pray for the Spirit's illumination. We pray that the Spirit will guide us and help us walk through this passage so that we know what you want us to learn, what you want us to do. Thank you, God. Give us this teachable spirit. Give us humility to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to share the word of God with you again. I want you to think of a time when you were in great need. Maybe you were in great need of healing because you were suffering from a grave illness. Or maybe you were in great need of money because you wanted to pay some bills. Or you were in great need of finding a job because you've been unemployed for some time. Or as a student, you were in great need of passing an exam. Now try to think of those moments. And I firmly believe that you pray for them, you pray for your need, and surely God answered your prayer. Now, what happened next? After God had helped you through those critical times of your life, what happened next? I'm sure you thank God, and you wholeheartedly thank God for answering your prayer, but was there any lasting effect on your relationship with God? Was there any lasting effect on your faith in trusting the Lord? Was your faith in God stronger or weaker after that incident? Now today, we look at the faith journey of King Hezekiah during the time of Prophet Isaiah. Now, Hezekiah was a reformer. He initiated civil and religious reforms in Judah, the southern kingdom. You remember, at that time, there were two kingdoms. The one in the north was called Israel. The one in the south was called Judah. The reform that King Hezekiah initiated brought about a revival in the country. And Hezekiah himself had a personal and growing relationship with the Lord. And he developed a very powerful, prayerful life. Now, however, he stumbled because of his pride. Now, Isaiah chapter 39 is an account of his stumble. Now, this story is also recorded in 2 Kings chapter 20 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32. The fact that there are three passages in the Old Testament recording this incident shows that this incident is very significant. And so let us go through this chapter together, 39. Now the backdrop of the story is Isaiah chapter 38, King Hezekiah was gravely ill. He was seriously ill. And at the point of death, he almost died. He cried out bitterly to God for healing. And God answered his impassioned plea and added 15 years to his life. Now, to prove that God would do what he had promised, God gave Hezekiah a sign that the shadow of the cast by the sun would go back 10 steps. It had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz, which was essentially a sundial. Now, how could the shadow go back 10 steps? How could the shadow go backwards? And that would mean that the sun had to go backward. And so if you look at, now this is the sundial. And normally, the day would start something like this, right? But according to God's promise, the sun or the shadow cast by the sun would go back, that is, you know, it would go back 10 steps. How could that happen? Except by a supernatural power. Obviously, it was a miracle. Hezekiah's recovery and of the miracle about the sundial traveled far and wide. And even the king of Babylon heard of it. Now, according to what we read just now in verse 1, King Merodach-Baladan sent envoys with letters and gifts to Hezekiah to congratulate him. Now, Bible scholars believe that Merodach had an ulterior motive by sending envoys to see King Hezekiah. The history shows that Babylon was oppressed by the superpower of the day, and that is Assyria. And King Baladan, or Merodach, was in trouble. And so he wanted to form an alliance with Hezekiah to fight against Assyria. Now, this suited Hezekiah very well, because Judah was under the threat of Assyrian invasion too. Now, in verse 3, it says, Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses, his armory, and his treasures. Now, there was nothing in his palace or in his entire kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. As you and I know, it's common sense that we should not and must not expose our treasures in public, right? You do not go around flaunting your wallets stuffed with $100 bills. Hey, look at me. You know how rich I am. You don't do that. Now, why was Hezekiah so foolish as to do such a thing that would hurt his country and his people, fellow countrymen, eventually? Well, apparently, Hezekiah felt that he had become an important figure in the world stage of politics. Now, think of it. Babylon, a more powerful nation than Judah, has sent envoys with gifts to congratulate him. Now, he was obviously flattered and wanted to show off himself and show off his possessions. Now, his inflated sense of importance went to his head and made him do such a foolish thing. Hezekiah's conduct reminds us of the danger of pride. Our pride leads to foolishness, and foolishness leads to failure or destruction. Now, because of pride, Lucifer, another name for Satan, was expelled from heaven. And because of pride, Adam was chased out of the Garden of Eden. And because of pride, Nebuchadnezzar was driven away from his people in Babylon and lived with the wild animals. And because of pride, Haman, who plotted to kill the Jews in Persia, was hanged instead. Now, someone once said, the history of pride consists of three chapters only. Pride began in heaven, continued on earth, and ended in hell. And so, you and I better be careful. Now, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12 says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud. It's easy to get a little puffed up when something great happens to us. And you guys are about to start a new school year. When you get all A's in your subjects, don't get too puffed up. When you do well in your workplace, when your supervisor or your boss pats you on the back, hey, Charles, you did a wonderful job. Don't get too puffed up. And when we find ourselves filled with pride, we find ourselves at odds with God. God will be fighting against us instead of fighting for us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And you remember the Apostle Paul and the thorn in his flesh, right? Paul was actually glad when he had difficult times, because those difficult times helped to keep him humble. And therefore he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me humble. Now, after King Hezekiah has shown off his armory and his treasures to the Babylonian envoys, then came Isaiah the prophet. It seemed as if God had sent Isaiah to Hezekiah right after that incident. God is always watching us. He loves us so much that he won't let us get away with things that are dangerous to us. Hezekiah was flattered to find that he had become an important figure in the world stage of politics, even in the distant country of Babylon. But Hezekiah didn't see that. The Babylonians would become a threat. At that time, Babylon was not a great superpower yet, but it would be 100 years later. King Hezekiah might be thinking, while these guys come from a place so far away, what's the big deal? What harm, what danger would they bring? What threat would they make to my country? And besides, it would be good to have an ally to fight against the imminent threat of Assyria. But Hezekiah was dead wrong. He stumbled over something so deceptive as a kind compliment. The envoys came and praised him and talked about the miracle and talked about the treasures, the possessions that he had. And suddenly, he became fuddle-duddled. Everything went to his head. Someone says this, when Satan cannot defeat us as the roaring lion, he comes as the deceiving serpent. And Jesus Christ says this, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Think about that. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. Human flattery doesn't bring God's approval. Sadness lies ahead for those who chase after people's praise rather than God's truth. And we know how to be on our guard, how we can, look out for bad things coming our way. But do we ever stop to consider being on guard against the harmless things as well? Things that seem so, harmless. And yet, we may let our guards down. Now, when Joshua, for example, in the Old Testament, there is this example. When Joshua was conquering the Promised Land, he was met by a group of wanderers claiming to be from a distant land, And you can check out this account in Joshua chapter 9. This group of people were wearing worn out clothes and carried stale bread. And they pleaded with Joshua not to destroy them. The Bible said Joshua did not inquire of God about this plea, about this incident. And you see, God had given a very clear order to Joshua to eliminate all the Canaanites in the land. And yet, at that moment, when these wanderers came, Joshua failed to inquire of God what he should do. You know, 3 days later, after Joshua had made that treaty with the wanderers, 3 days later, Joshua found out that he had been deceived by these wanderers. The wanderers were actually their neighbors, living very close by. They were actually Canaanites. These wanderers duped Joshua because they did not want to be killed like other Canaanites. As history tells us, these wanderers, called the Gibeonites, proved to be much trouble for Israel much later in the history of the country. It all happened because Israel relied on what their eyes saw instead of asking God for advice. You know, brothers and sisters, we know how to be on the lookout for bad things coming our way. But do we ever stop to consider being on guard for the harmless things as well? Things that seem to be so innocuous, seem to be so, you know, it could do nothing to us. Are we also on guard for them? Now, Hezekiah told Isaiah that the Babylonians saw everything in my palace. There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. It seems that Hezekiah didn't really think that he had done anything wrong. But what Hezekiah did not realize was that he had been put in a test by God. And so we, you know, cross-reference check to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. And there it says, but when the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him, that is Hezekiah, about the miraculous sign that had occurred in the land, God left Hezekiah to test him and to know everything that was in his heart. Now, by God's grace, Hezekiah did not die from his serious illness. Now, he should have made use of that opportunity to tell the Babylonian envoys what God had done for him, instead of showing off himself, instead of showing off his possessions. If he had done for them what Philip had done for the Ethiopian eunuch, then the Babylonian envoys would have returned to Babylon with the message of the fear of God, and Babylon might have become a God-fearing nation. And perhaps the kingdom of Judah would not have been attacked by Babylon 100 years later. Judah might have escaped the captivity and conquer of Babylon. Now, unfortunately, King Hezekiah didn't witness to the Babylonians. Instead, he bragged about his military might and his treasures. Now, what a pity that he missed that golden opportunity to witness for God. Now, brothers and sisters, how often are we like Hezekiah, thinking that all we have belong to us? In actuality, all things come from God. God is the generous, the gracious giver of all things. He gives everything to us, and you know what? He can take everything away from us. Now, although Hezekiah was greatly blessed and healed by God, his spiritual life had not benefited from it. And in chapter 38, verses 19 to 20, Hezekiah wrote this himself. He says, after, you know, he recovered from the illness, he said, the living, they praise you, as I am doing today. Fathers tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. Now, he wrote this. Now, he decided that others would know God's faithfulness. Others would learn about God's deed or work. But where was that desire? And when he received the Babylonian envoys, everything just went out the window. At that moment, he just focused on his sense of importance. He just focused on the treasures, the possessions that he had. His physical illness was cured, but his spiritual life showed little progress. Hezekiah failed to make use of that golden opportunity to witness for God. You know, brothers and sisters, once the opportunity is gone, it will never return. And so when you return to school this year, whenever you have that opportunity, through your work, when people admire, when people envy you, the grades that you have in your, for your subjects, remember to tell them, yes, I study hard, but it is my God who gave me that ability to learn, who helped me to pass the exams with flying colors. Remember that. Once the opportunity is gone, it will never return. People who take the opportunity to do something are wise, especially something concerning the witness for God. You know, the Apostle Paul says this, and we all are familiar with this. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, there is this insurance agent who would urge people to buy life insurance whenever and wherever he may be. One day, he was admitted to the hospital due to illness. Now, the general manager of the company came to visit him, right? He cheerfully told his supervisor. He said, I am persuading every doctor and every nurse to take out an insurance company policy from our company. Now, even when the guy was in sick bed, he was still working. He still tried to persuade everybody in the ward to buy insurance. Now, he regarded that as a golden opportunity to promote life insurance. And we who have the life insurance of eternal life, how much more we should really step up to the plate, go out there and tell people, hey, I've got this insurance in Christ Jesus. You want to hear about it? Let me tell you. We must not be so foolish as Hezekiah and missed that golden opportunity. Now, after Hezekiah had said that he had shown the Babylonians all his treasures, you know what Isaiah told him? Isaiah said this. In verses 6 and 7, Isaiah said, the time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Now, that would not happen until 100 years later. And nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That king will be King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the very first time we hear about a specific prophecy about the Babylonian captivity in the book of Isaiah. The Babylonian captivity actually happened in stages. It did not happen in one shot. During the first stage, just the royalty and the smartest of the people were taken captive to Babylon, along with great treasures. The prophet Daniel went in the very first group. In the second stage, the Babylonians came back. They didn't, feel satisfied. So they came back and took many of the people with them to Babylon. The prophet Ezekiel went in this group. And in the third and final stage, the Babylonians came and leveled Jerusalem, just bulldozed it, destroyed the entire temple, and took many, many more people, leaving only the poorest to stay behind in the land of Palestine. Now, Hezekiah had never realized that one little slip, that one little stumble, would cause so much disaster, not presently, but 100 years later. Now, brothers and sisters, how often are we aware of this fact that our little action today can have grave consequences, not immediately, but maybe many years later? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you guys are still young. You may not, understand completely what I'm saying, but I can vouch it about myself. Some little actions that I took many years ago might bring about grave consequences. And so, let us learn from Hezekiah's mistake. Anyway, Hezekiah replied to Isaiah. He said, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good." For he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." Yeah, there will be trouble later on, but at least in my lifetime, there will be peace and security. Now, it sounds as if Hezekiah was a selfish person, right? Who was glad that the judgment would come after he had gone. But in reality, we find that Hezekiah, when he heard Isaiah's rebuke and told him about the consequence, he was truly humbled by what God said to him through Isaiah. And so here, let's cross-reference check to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 26. It says, "Then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah." It was just a delayed judgment, but it would happen for sure. Now, God spared Hezekiah of the trouble, of the disaster that might have come to him. Now, Hezekiah was glad that God had at least given a measure of grace to him and his people at that time. Now, when Hezekiah said, "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," he meant that all of God's word, even the rebuke, is good. God's word is good, even if it hurts a little. And the Apostle John tells us how God's word can sometimes be sweet and sometimes bitter. In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 10, John says this: "Sometimes we can enjoy the great promises of God's word, and we find peace, comfort, and hope. But sometimes God's word brings conviction, and it leaves a bitter taste." Now, normally, there are two reactions to God's word. The first reaction is this: some people stop trusting in God. When they hear God's word, they don't like it. They don't feel like being rebuked. And so they stop. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10, King Asa was very angry with the prophet who told him what God, wanted him to hear. King Asa was so enraged that he put the prophet in prison. And at the same time, King Asa brutally oppressed some other people. And some people just stopped trusting in God when they hear the word of God. But there is still another reaction. And that is, some people admit that they are wrong and ask God for help. We all remember King David. King David was a great sinner. He had fallen into lust with his friend's wife and committed adultery. And eventually, he committed murder, right? He ordered his friend to be killed on the front line. God sent Nathan the prophet to tell him a story, to confront him about his sin. And when David heard that story, he was just being so righteous himself. He said, "Oh, that man in the story should die." And then Nathan told him, "You are the man. You are the man." Now, David realized that he has sinned against God. And when he heard Nathan's story, he repented of his sin. And he said, "I have sinned." Now, brothers and sisters, today, later on, we're going to celebrate the communion. And we remember Jesus dying on the cross to pay for our sins so that we can start having a brand new relationship with God. Now, let's learn from Hezekiah. Even though we have sinned against God, we come before him to ask for forgiveness. And God will always forgive. When God's word convicts us of our wrongdoing, let us not delay. Let us come before God, as David did, and repent of his sin, of our sins. And let us do what Hezekiah did. When Isaiah told him what he had done, he repented of his sin, and God forgave him and spared him of that impending wrath. Now, King Hezekiah's meeting with the Babylonian envoys shows that he was not so perfect in grace as he thought he was. It is good for us to know ourselves and know our own weaknesses and sinfulness, that we may not become conceited, that we may not become too overly self-confident, but we may always live in dependence upon God's grace. After all, everything that we possess, our skill sets, our gifts, our abilities, our treasures, our possessions, even our very life, is a gift of God. We don't know the corruption of our own hearts. Our hearts can be so corrupt and conceited sometimes. And if we just leave it to ourselves. Hezekiah's sin was that his heart was so puffed up at that moment. He made a bad return to God's favor. God healed him. God had mercy on him. He should have taken that opportunity, not only to give thanks to God, he did, but also to tell others about God. Brothers and sisters, let us shy away from the occasions of sin. Let us avoid bad company. Let us avoid entertainment that could lure us into sin. Let us avoid books, videotapes, DVDs, songs that could really lead us, tempt us to sin. And let us ask God to keep our eyes and our ears in his care, so that what we see, what we hear, will not sin against God. Let us commit ourselves wholly and continually to God's care and protection. Just as the last song we sang just now, day by day, right? Day by day, we commit ourselves to God and ask God for his protection. Ask God to help us to stay in His shelter and beg Him never to leave us nor forsake us. And before I end this morning, I ask you to join me in reading this these two verses again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. I think it is appropriate for us as we begin a new season of schoolwork, a new season of work, and let us really remember what the Word of God says to us. Let us learn a lesson from King Hezekiah. Please join me. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. And let us pray. Dear God, You have spoken very clearly through Your Word. And we pray that You help us to abide in Your Word, and above all, to abide in You, so that every day we know that we always walk in accordance with Your will. Lord, You know the temptations we face in school, at work, or wherever we may be. Sometimes we tend to lose sight of You, and so we stumble and falter and sin against You. O Lord, have mercy on us. As we begin this new season of whatever, schoolwork, our work, a new life, a new season of life in the church, we ask You to really help us to stay focused on You. Because only when we do that, we can walk through this journey on earth without much trouble. Thank You, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe we'll sing that one verse. You remember that verse about day by day? Yeah. That